sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
Hello, I'm Susan McCabe, here to welcome you to Return to Light, a one-time performance of original poems read by their island authors for this year's winter solstice. I invite you to give yourself a quiet break from the season's hectic activity. Get a cuppa, sit in your favorite chair, close your eyes, and let the words and music wash over you, just like Mom reading you to sleep. Our first poet is Katherine Johnson. Katherine is a retired educator who devotes her time to writing, farming, and serving her community. Her writing is inspired by the beauty of the natural world, the sorrows and joys of being human, and the sudden discovery of everyday miracles. She lives with her wife of 34 years on the island's southwest side. Welcome, Katherine.
Thank you, Susan.
So what are you going to read for us today?
I brought a couple poems just appropriate for this season and the time of year that we're in around the holidays.
And what brought you to poetry in the first place?
It was a mistake. I went to a poetry reading. A friend invited me. She never showed up, but I went and was so taken by the power of metaphor and image to talk about what's going on in my internal life. I just went, oh my God, I have to learn how to do this. Well, that was 30-some years ago, so I'm still trying to learn.
Well, we're happy to be here to help you practice.
Thank you. Please,
read for us.
The first poem is called A Winter Rite. With solstice fires laid and lit, we mark the steady leaning of this cold and tender season of Earth herself towards longer light. On this night we gather round the fierce and solid heat. Watch hope make brilliant sparks, regret make ash and embers. The night is wide, still and cold, the year ahead we cannot see. So once again, we give ourselves, our very lives like simple prayers, or so much wood for burning.
Nice. And you have another?
I do. I'm hoping all the parents of grown children might relate to this. When grown children return for the holidays, we await their promised arrival like the season itself. Cross off the days, stock up the larder, spin like tops through the house, cleaning every surface twice. Then they walk in the door like the magi, bearing their gifts, having traveled from afar. The holiday myth springs to life, unfold so beautiful, fast, and full, it takes your breath away. Leaves you looking at the dawn like you never seen the light. And in a blink, it's over. They're gone. It's never perfect, never could be, but perfect enough. Love, family, life is like that. Now we wander the quiet house, stare at the tree with its blinking lights, and out beyond into the darkening night. It wasn't a dream, we tell each other. They came, we gathered, we were gifted once more.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've often thought we spent all those years when they were growing up cleaning up after them. Then when they're coming to see us, we're cleaning up for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Katherine. I asked each of the poets to choose a song to go with their poetry. And what did you choose? Tell us about it.
I chose Van Morrison's Days Like This. My mother always would use that as a platitude when I was having a hard day. And then Van came around and shook me up, and I realized it's important to cherish when everything's going just right.
So here we are, Van Morrison, Days Like This.
Hello, Judas cousin. Oh, my mama told me there'll be days like this. when you don't need an answer. There'll be days like this when you don't need a chance. There'll be days like this when all the parts of the puzzle start to look like they fit. Then I must remember there'll be days like this.
That was Van Morrison's Days Like This, chosen by poet Katherine Johnson. Our next poet is Hunter Davis. As a quiet, lonely fourth-grade daydreamer, she says she found friends in the imagined world and in trees and wild places, and realized all you needed was words to get there, and that's pretty much what poetry still is for her. Welcome, Hunter.
Thank you, Kat.
Susan. Nice to have you here. So what are you going to read for us today?
I have three poems. The first one is about the nothingness that occurs at winter solstice. And the second is a little more hopeful. Talks about, and the third one is very hopeful. It's planting bulbs at winter solstice.
Oh, that sounds like balance. Please read for us.
Another morning glassed in front of me. In the glass before me, there is no sign of a slow spring weaving into the solidity of winter. Treasure of silence is the offer. How do I write of silence, of emptiness, of nothingness? Once again, I follow the ritual of removing my present presence, blank out the coffee before me, the chair that needs repair, the ant that needs worrying. What appears is soundless, sightless, colorless, tasteless, and only exists in the opposite of what does exist. Done in isolation, nothingness pokes through the skin of reality. I grasp it for the few strands of emptiness that try to prove themselves.
Nice. What's the next one? Hunter Davis, Island Poet.
The second poem comes from my love of snow, and it's called One Day in December. The cedar's talent is apparent here, spines straight despite the cripple of wind, parkas of snow hefted high on tree shoulders, limbs sleeved with what falls from the sky. The first flakes received as an intelligence of the world.
Love that. I hope we can get some of that this year. Yes, your last one.
Is about narcissi bulbs planting narcissi bulbs near winter solstice. In the quiver of this winter afternoon, I plant narcissi bulbs, believing my task is saturated by the future's mystery. I jab the shovel at the stony earth, flip spitfuls of dirt, fingers gone to ice. I place bulbs in holes, caged in darkness. They gain confidence to emerge in bloom come spring. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Hunter. That was hopeful. And the song that you chose is from Beethoven, so we're going to play a little bit of Beethoven's Ode to Joy, played by Igor Levit, pianist. Beethoven's Ode to Joy, chosen by poet Hunter Davis, who read to us about the joy and the hope of spring coming here on Return to Light on the Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM KVSH LP, Vashon Island, Washington. Our next poet is Mark Yole. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Yole. Long of tooth and gray of hair, he says. Fortunate to have lived in 7 different countries, Mark settled on Vashon in 2004, married for 40 years to his bride, Catherine, and proud father of his daughter, Sarah. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you.
What are you going to read for us today?
Well, when I was invited to make a couple of poems about the winter solstice, I very cleverly wrote 2. The first one is called Winter Solstice Number 1, and the second is called Winter Solstice Number 2. They really don't have titles.
Terribly clever. Terribly clever. What brought you to poetry, Mark?
A young boy called Ian McKenzie that I met when we were both at boarding school at 14. He was a Maori from New Zealand, and he read me a poem he'd written, and I had an awakening to the fact that poems weren't just written by dead people. So I tried my hand, and I've never stopped.
And are you from New Zealand?
No, I was born in Malaysia, but I'm British by, Malaysian by first, and then British, and then it's a long story.
Well, maybe we'll hear that story, but maybe some of that will come out in your poetry. Please read for us.
Thank you. So Winter Solstice Number 1. The dependability of the returning sun can be a lantern to our inmost life. When unconscious thought has thrown us down and sent us scurrying into those dark caves of bleak emotion carved from the vicissitudes of childhood's pruning, the promise of that coming ray becomes the toehold upon which we stand and can lift a burdened heart. This grace that ends that long, cold night of isolation, a gift not of our making, restores what was heretofore forsaken. This gift not of our making restores what was heretofore forsaken.
Thank you. And?
Winter Solstice Number 2.
Number 2.
There is a moment, sometimes a place where nothing moves and all is held in readiness for that instant when the world moves once again. This point in time, this place in space, this gap between the opposites of then and now, of high and low, of help and hinder, summer, winter, this axis unmoving around which all will turn, returns, renews. And this place from which what was not moves to be what is, where dark begins the journey into light, what is its echo in my soul? A still point, where what is fractured, separate, forever banned from Eden, can once again be gathered up, can once again be made whole at the turning of the season.
So hopeful.
Thank you.
We need that.
And if I had chosen music, it would probably be The Sounds of Silence.
maybe we can dig that up for a little bit later. We'll see if we can find that. Thank you so much, Mark. Our next poet is Sandra Noel. Sandra works as a freelance illustrator, graphic designer, and interpretive writer, developing award-winning environmental education posters, brochures, exhibits, and interpretive signs. Her poems have appeared in Pontoon, Buddhist Poetry Review, and others. Chapbooks entitled The Gypsy in My Kitchen and Into the Green, Finishing Line Press, The River, Kelsey Press, and Unraveling the Endless Knot, Middle Creek Publishing, and 2 full-length poetry books, Love Island, Goldfish Press, and Hawkland, from Middle Creek Publishing. And Sandra is one of our past poet laureates here on Vashon. Welcome, Sandra.
Hi, Susan. Thank you for having us here.
It's so fun. I love doing this every year. What are you going to read for us today?
I have 3 poems that have kind of a winter theme. And one of them is from Unraveling the Endless Knot, and the other 3 are from a new publication that comes out this spring. And my husband passed away 1.5 years ago, and these poems were written during and his illness and after. So I'm reading 3 poems that are new, I guess.
I was going to ask you how you got to poetry, but you've kind of explained it. It sounds to me like it's a catharsis for you.
Yes, but I got actually into reading poetry and writing it more through Margaret, our current poet laureate,
Margaret
because
Rancone.
I went to the only first reading I ever went to was Margaret's in Seattle. So,
oh, well,
that's where we met and started writing a poem a day in 2012, and have never stopped. Just so you know.
You've written a poem every day since 2012, both
yes.
of you? Margaret Rancone is here quietly shaking her head.
And our friend Joanna Conham, too, joined us. So, yeah.
That's a lot of publication. That's a lot of words. Well, you want to lay some of those words on us?
All right. This first poem is from Unraveling the Endless Knot. It's called The Wave of Forever. The cold feels evident. Clean, my breath evident, walking over the rise toward the valley of the firs. If I close my eyes, the cold creeps into my bones and asking for more, but I am not ready to answer. Though somehow, with your quiet passing, it does not seem mysterious. We live and we die, the deer carcass beside the road, an old cedar stump. Through the crystalline fields, diminutive marsh wrens rise like a shout, disturbed from their cold retreats by my passing. We are a small ripple through the great wave of forever. This next one is for my stepdaughter, Jennifer, who was with me through most of my husband's difficulty with his illness. It's called Flowers in the Snow. For Jen. She brings me food and sweeps the deck, littered by storm debris. This daughter, once so misunderstood, has become a friend, forged in the fires of love and death. Her father, my husband, a bond created by long nights, uncertain days, hope, finality, and grief. Sometimes, out of tragedy, something beautiful emerges. As unexpected as flowers in the snow.
Mm.
And the last one is called Gifts of Gold. This sunrise, are you part of it? Warp and weft in the loom of creation, I cannot name my mythology. If that is what it is, has made you of you again a traveler, Odysseus at last in the spirit world. In life, you were a family man, well traveled even then. In the wider world, but you always returned. Home was your center point. I fill the space where you stood, feeling inadequate. This gift of gold and light came early, dawned without judgment. I see the beauty in it, and it sees me. Fades before the day begins, and fears rekindle. I need to weave my own story now, or what is left of it. Swim out and touch the sun. Thank you.
Ooh. Sandra Noel, our former poet laureate and one of today's brilliant poets. Thank you. I think all those many days of writing poems have served you well. You kind of got down to the nitty-gritty there. I managed to find the sounds of silence that Mark said he would like to include for his poetry, so I'm going to play some of that for us.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound. Silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light. Split the night, the sound of silence.
And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share. No one did disturb the sound of silence.
In case you've been living under a rock, that was Simon and Garfunkel's Sound of Silence, chosen as a part of today's show, Return to Light, by poet Mark Yole. You are listening to Return to Light on the Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSH LP, Vashon Island, Washington. I'm Susan McCabe, your lucky host for today. And our next poet is Jessica Satori. Jessica is a poet, entrepreneur, educator, filmmaker, and professor. She will be teaching at PLU in January and has just been awarded a mentorship with the Washington State Leadership Board program, Compassionate Leadership. Jessica will be publishing her new poetry chapbook, Roy G. Biv, momentarily. Welcome, Jessica.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
I'm a little baffled. What is Roy G. Biv? What's that all about?
Roy G. Biv is a mnemonic to remember the colors of the rainbow. So red, orange, yellow. I knew this from high school physics.
Oh.
So it's the name of a poem.
Uh-huh. So that leads us into, what are you going to read for us today?
Well, I've got two poems today. One is called Today, and the other one is called The Only Thing Between Life and Death is Breath. And it's a riddle poem.
Oh,
so
that sounds like fun.
Different. Yeah.
Okay. Lay it on us.
Okay. Today. What could coax me out of a warm, soft bed on a Saturday morning? The Geminids meteor shower? It's cloudy. A good cup of coffee? I ran out yesterday. My birthday? Again? It isn't even the tyranny of the to-do list, a million miles long, tapping me on the shoulder. It isn't the sweet cinnamon rolls unwinding themselves on the counter. It isn't the movie I finally have time to see. It's me, it's me. The inner voice is telling me to rise to greet the day. Who knows what will happen? Wrapping the quilt around my toes and shoulders, I savor past birthdays. The time in college in the dorm on a snowy Spokane day. I hear a knock at 6 a.m. I open it to see a solid wall of toilet paper that my friends have pasted on the outside. I know who did it. Then when I was 9, and instead of making popcorn balls, my dad shaped it into a foot-high birthday tree, garnished it with gumdrops and licorice garlands and birthday candles. Then as a professor, after a particularly long day teaching over town and a taxing commute, I returned to my Wax Orchard Road house to see the island Magi had visited. Three women had left their gifts on the front step. An extravagant switch plate, an elegant and intoxicating lavender candle, an exquisite pen that light came on when you pressed it on the page. And now I'm in awe of another year of life, another trip around the sun, a special day to savor. Thank you.
Something for all of us. What's your next one?
Okay, this is the riddle poem, The Only Thing Between Life and Death is Breath. I choke on cigar smoke, walking the worn wood, squeaky corridor of a somber Victorian mansion. When I approach the end of the hall, the French doors fling open to me and I see. On the right, Goethe of More Light and Rutke of Was It Light converse about verse with Jim of Light My Fire, listening and nodding next to the fireplace. At the table, Jesus Light of the World, ladle soup for Madame Curie of the Radium. She takes the bowl and offers it to Apollo, who beams. The brothers Lumiere and Monsieur Daguerre discussing fascinating moving images, their forks full of crepes, Suzette, dancing, punctuating their words. On the left, Benjamin of the Key and Queen Noor of the Arabic Light take coffee at the bookshelf, while Hank, who saw the light, surveys the crowd while he noodles and hums. He tips his hat to Paul of Tarsus, who discusses the finer points of blinding light and horse behavior with Michael Faraday of the electromagnetic force. Seated next in the corner is Sir Isaac, who reaches to offer a prism dessert to Sir Herschel of the infrared. I note how Edison and Tesla, these enemies, stand at opposite ends of the room, backs to each other, yet an occasional lapse, stares, lightning. In the back of the room, Eagle from the Light perches alone above the din, watches the antics. As I pass through, none of these souls notice who I am, an inconspicuous servant igniting the multitude of candles. I, Jessica of the Sudden Light, will be the only one to blow them out.
That is fascinating. And it is your birthday today, isn't
it? It is.
So of all these things listed in your biography, entrepreneur, educator, filmmaker, and professor, where does poetry fit?
Poetry is the undercurrent of all my life. when my mother was reading, you know, stories at bedtime, she would cut poetry out of magazines and paste them to the cabinets next to where I would wash dishes as a child. So poetry was there early on.
Wow. Yeah. Note to parents, if you want to raise a poet, paste the poems where they do the dishes. Do they do the dishes anymore? We don't know. That was Jessica Satori, an island poet. And Jessica, you've chosen George Winston's song, Snow, Midnight? What is it called?
It's December, I think. Or no, it's Snow. It's December's the name of the album, George Winston.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay. We're going to take a little musical break here. You're listening to Return to Light on Voice of Vashon. This is George Winston. That is George Winston's December, chosen by poet Jessica Satori here on our Winter Solstice Poetry Show, Return to Light. I'm Susan McCabe, your host. This is the Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, Vashon Island, Washington, and at voiceofvashon.org. We're having a great time here with poetry. I hope you are resting and enjoying this moment of quiet. Our next poet is Claudia Lucas Hollander. Claudia is a longtime Vashon Islander who makes one-of-a-kind art books that are tactile objects as well as being word-based. Her books are held in private collections and at public institutions such as the New York Center for the Book, Emerson College Library in Sussex, England, and in the special collections libraries at the University of Washington and University of Puget Sound in Seattle, Tacoma. I am humbled. Welcome, Claudia.
Great to be here. Hope you can hear me.
I can hear you. What are you going to read for us today?
Well, happy solstice, everybody. And I'd like to read two poems that are rather different from each other. The first poem is about light in the history of perception. It was launched by a wintry poem by Dylan Thomas called Alterwise by Owl Light. The name of this poem is 1798, Como, Italy. Here is a time of tallow, those waxen towers of witness to cognac, kisses, and gimlet eyes of night wishes. Here are the sorrowing fats of midnight, song in storm and fable, while nearby, salts on copper are spelling a match to topspin season with cohorn, cable, and modern current density. As if to dispel an index, Alessandro heats copper in a quivered arc, a jolt from his crystalline pinch of salt into an ampoule of water. He works in rationals, as his name is Alessandro Volta. His to compel a world no longer heaven's egg or a shapeless country in weathers of melted topaz. Ohms humble themselves into notes of AC and DC to wrap night into lumens beyond prayer etched on a grain of luck. He sees inverted faces, their need across crystal balls onto the plush of velvet and the spectral facets of a new age ruled in the light of prismed glass and the spell of chandeliers.
Magical. Magical. What's your next poem, Claudia?
The next one, speaking of spells, the second poem is a response to the daytime Christmas inflatables seen all over the island. It's officially called A Christmas Resurrection. I prefer Dead Santas. And a shout out to the Vashon Loops culture editor, Jane Valencia, for graciously publishing this poem in the current issue. Dead Santas. Dead Santas lay in vinyl heaps on lawns cased in blankets of frost. Did Vashon youth all over this land, menacing board, slit each Santa's belly? Were they giddy to hear his slithering, a diminishing wheeze? Ho, 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 ho. Such a silly fat man who shakes his copper bell for coins and candy, greets shoppers, then blocks entry to all the box stores. But here in the country, children romance the season, take deer for camels, Santa for Jesus, tuck beach treasures under the bed for troll man. Big yellow buses lumber along the rutted lane, scanning for deer, for rain, and for Santa. Just as they grindingly steer onto 105, a dark curtain quivers. A man who has timers, sensitive to clock and light, commands a miracle. Vapors hiss, expand the crumpled red suit. A coal-gloved Santa arises. He waves, he billows, and bellows, "Good morning, children. Happy Christmas." Wide-eyed innocents wobble on green aged seats. They press tiny fingers to breath-fogged glass, some aching to glimpse their friend from the north. Others wonder how such a big man can shrink and expand each morning so cheery. That this tethered Santa can and must know each secret desire buried miles deep in every sized heart, untombed today with the mere touch of a button.
That is great.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. So, Claudia, what brought you to poetry?
I think it's always been there, but through visual observation. So the first thing I did was copy words out of poetry. And my first experiences in poetry were not very good. I had to memorize "O Captain, My Captain." Mm. And it was only recently that I realized that that was Whitman. But I kind of liked his other poem, "Songs of Myself," was pretty good.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of came in through the back door as a visual artist. But I liked the precision of it and how words can transcend themselves into grabbing feeling right at the core.
Well, and you chose an interesting song for your music. Tell us what you chose and why.
Well, I chose three things, but the first one was "Darkness, Darkness" by the Youngbloods featuring Robert Plant. Is that what you have?
I'm not sure that's what's going to turn up, but shall we give it a try?
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, let's see what we got.
See what inflates.
All the things that cannot be, keep my mind from.
So that's early Robert Plant, and I just love his voice. I just love the
things I cannot see now.
Be my pillow, darkness be my pillow. Embrace the hibernation of the dark.
Robert Plant, "Darkness, Darkness," chosen by poet Claudia Hollander. Thank you. Claudia Lucas Hollander.
Hollander Lucas.
Hollander Lucas. Okay, good.
I'd answer to anything.
Thank you, Claudia. You're listening to Return to Light on the Voice of Vashon, and our next poet is Monica Schley. Monica is a harpist, poet, mother, songwriter, wedding musician, harp instructor, band leader of the Daphnes, and touring artist. Her performance history is a blend of yin and yang, ranging from the intimate, sublime to large-scale performance halls around the country. She has played with indie rockers, jazz luminaries, and pop stars. As a therapeutic harpist, she worked for 5 years with Providence Hospice and Highline Medical Center as a certified clinical musician. Some of her writing can be found at pariahgraph.com, Harp Therapy Journal, Raven Chronicles, Cream City Review, and King County Metro's Poetry on Buses. She has recorded on over 20 albums, including two of her own self-produced, Harp Carols and Braids of Kabuya. Monica has received artist in residencies from the SB Foundation and Centrum Foundation, and lives in Seattle with her husband, designer and illustrator Stephen Schilbach, and their two children. Welcome, Monica. Good grief.
I live on Vashon now.
Okay. Oh, that was an old bio, right?
Yeah, a little.
You do all these things. You are a...
When you say it all at once, it sounds impressive, doesn't it?
It really does.
I think it's just been a long time coming.
You have a lot of creative outlets, obviously. How do poetry and harp playing link?
I think for a long time they didn't for me. I thought that I needed to be a poet or a musician, and I had a hard time combining the two. Ah. And then about 10 years or 15 years ago, I started to songwrite with singing and lyrics that I would write. But before that, I took myself kind of seriously as a poet. I went to school for poetry in Wisconsin, and I loved the beats, and I hung out with a lot of wonderful poets who taught me a lot, so...
Nice. So what are you going to read for us today?
I had to dig back and find something about the solstice, and I'm glad I found this one that I wrote way back in 2004, actually. I was working on a series of weather report poems, but they weren't your typical weather report. There was weather report on nostalgia and on sand. And this one is on orange, because I happen to like all the oranges that are in season. And so... also, this poem is about sharing as well. So,
all right.
Weather report on orange. I haven't had this feeling since last year's tuba storm trapped me into a shiny brass basement. There was a pot-bellied stove, grandmother's knitting, and orange and cinnamon in the air. But it always amazes me that you never telephone or write, except for those mass emails from wherever country you're living in now. It seems warm along the canals of your lingual throat, and like jetties from other dialects, you spin wherever you go. I haven't felt this nourished since last year's Mandarin and Satsuma traced my navel to my thighs like a street only fruit could drive through. I'd travel the cobblestone of lost centuries to find my way back to you, hang my arms upon your arms as if to dry them in some heat only we create. Yes, it's the season of orange, and I'm burning the pulp of possibility. The patience of gestation, the crockery of stewing is brewing in me now. I haven't stirred this soup since last year's squash quiche serpentined my intestines. It was a good meal, and I'm pleased to remember it with you. It's the season for plugging in and blowing a fuse, the season of candles that light themselves, the weather for small suns to be stored in a basket that I reach for into my palm that I shall pass into your palm. And in that moment, in its small, darkening curve, we shall ride that line together on an equator.
What fun, what vitality there is in that.
I wish all the other weather report poems turned out as nice as that one.
Well, Sandra and Margaret have done, they've been writing a poem every day, so I'm sure some of those are cast-offs.
Totally. I think I should practice a little bit more.
It kind of gets you to the nuggets, I think, which still amazes me. Monica Schley, I was able to find some of your harp music online. So
great. I have a Harp Carols album that has a 10-year anniversary this year, and it was all Christmas music. I call it the B-sides of Christmas. So they're all very old, ancient, kind of 300, 400, 500-year-old songs. And I'm not too sure which one you're going to pick, but they're pretty much...
I think it says it's Low
Low How a Rose Air Blooming. That one is an old German melody.
Sounds very... Old English, actually, the title. This is Monica Schley on harp.
It's a long story of why I'm not doing it now, but I think perhaps we can all guess COVID might have had something to do with it.
Yes, right.
So there's certain styles, and the harp certainly gets lumped into relaxing sounding.
Yeah, kind of makes me want to go to heaven. Monica Schley, poet, harpist, etc. Thank you for being here. You're listening to Return to Light on the Voice of Ajahn. Our next poet is Lynn Carrigan. She was a social work clinician and professor for 30 years, hearing the voices of sorrow and survival. Her journals are full of poetry and an excess of joy and purpose. She has read and published her work since 1969 and considers it the rebellion of a radical activist. Welcome, Lynn Carrigan.
Thank you, Susan. Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's so much fun to have you all here. So what brought you to poetry?
In the 12th grade, I had three fantastic teachers that recited poetry and encouraged us to journal. to reflect rather than just live. And those were tough times in 1964.
Mm, yeah.
So it helped transform the confusion and the pain of those revolutionary times into something that felt beautiful.
So again, some catharsis there.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to read for us today?
Well, I'm not sure if I have time for two, but I just wanted to say I'm kind of interested these days in physics and especially astronomy and genetics. So I'll read a sort of short poem on physics, and then if I have time to do another, I will.
Okay, go for it.
It's kind of the physics of revolution related to the solstice.
Okay.
And the title is I'm in Love with Revolution. This turning of starry constellations, this shift in our pulsing magnetic fields, this unfeeling polar tilt bent backwards, this sudden new season spurs me on past aimlessness to mission frontier. How could I not acknowledge the quick heartbeat of another chance to rise? I become a dolman, a paradox of standing stone amid a circle, vibrating quartz pulled from the ground, pointed upward to the indigo sky, solid, silent, and hard, as well as coursing with metal's conductive speed, waves and particles turning into each other, photons and muons bathing electrons. The transformer becomes the transformed. I am an ancient portal, transmitting and receiving all at once, ancient messages and messages to ancients, full scored with runic verses, signs, names, and directions for the stellar traveler.
As we all are. You have time for one more.
You. All right. This is Double Helix. If our genetic code, our DNA, is only 2% human, then I am made of cosmic explosives, fragments from space, stone soup, volcanic ash, lightning, and clouds. I am tidal waves rushing toward distant shores, seaweed and blue algae and the fish that swims open-mouthed upward to glimmering air. I am that horizon, that surprise, that shock, fins and scales, some kind of hard backbone, now legs and fur and teeth, sharp, then sharper. Suddenly I'm warm, full of blood and hunger, fear and wanting. My being merges with others and I feel changed. Their body and moisture stays with me and I grow. Another joins me and I become two. Each touch and smell and kiss, each sight and sound, every sleep and dream and illness and awakening enters my body and never really leaves. I am a carrier, heavy laden, packing around molecules and memories. The thread of my lifetime becomes a chain, a linked golden keepsake made of the faces of my Viking fathers, my grandmother's cooking, my mother's songs, a priceless biological heritage containing everything that ever passed through all of them to give to my child.
Whoosh. Lynn Kerrigan, Island Poet, thank you so much for reading for us and for bringing us your good work. You're listening to Return to Light on the Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, Vashon Island, Washington. Our next poet is Susan Lynch. Susan holds degrees in English from Reed College, with study at Oxford University, and an MFA in creative writing from Goddard. Before attending college in her 50s, she was a singer-songwriter, recording artist, with songs covered by Joan Jett in a Nora Ephron film and Agnetha Faltskog of ABBA, among others. Her poems have appeared in Bombay Gin, Ash, Pontoon Poetry, Sequestrum, Reed Creative Review, and elsewhere. A shaman in private practice since 1999, she lives on Vashon Island, where she was Poet Laureate from 2019 to 2021. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you, fellow Susan.
I had no idea you were this accomplished.
Oh, I also lived in a tree.
That's an accomplishment.
That's in another chapter.
Have you written about that?
I have. I'm started on several books besides poetry now. I think I'll be busy with those for the next decade.
That's so impressive.
Thank you.
What brought you to poetry?
This little book right here, and I know you're on the radio, so we can't see it, but this is my very own copy of A.A. Milne's When We Were Very Young that I got given in 1959, well used. And I wrote my first poem when I was 6 after teaching myself to type on my grandfather's typewriter.
Whoa.
And it was very much influenced and inspired by these. My first poem was called That Little Voice Inside of Me, and it had to do with a cookie jar.
Do you still have that?
Probably. Somewhere, when your mom goes, she gives you all your stuff back.
And, oh, yeah, right.
That's why I have this.
Cleaning out, yes. Yeah. So what are you going to read for us today?
This is from my new book, Into the All Empty, and it is a bit of a synchronicity smackdown with you, Lynn, with your first poem. So see if you can catch what I'm talking about. I'm sure you will. It's called Only What I've Heard.
Okay.
Like it or not, shards of the past surface, in earth mounds shaped like breasts, with auric bones and auricalc, undiscovered epithets, our details rummaged and contested. What stays in myth, the overlap of circular forms spun from spindles, hollow quests, round tables, substrata, and Plato. What's gone is gone, scraped off the face by cataclysms long ago. One of life's little whammies, still things keep turning up. Signet leaves impressions in wax, in stone, in clay. The swallows barrows wives at Avebury cut blocks of virgin soil, each with a bottom of fine gravel, a layer of clay, rich earth charged by the gemstone spring I entered on the equinox, or the day after. Moving back and forth in time, I was struck by the faces in the stones, sly guardian in the wall, big smiler by the entry with his Neolithic teeth. Timaeus said it's this dreaming that keeps us asleep and makes it impossible for us to determine the truth about these and other matters. Nothing but a sweet dream, blocks removed to the base clay. While some other world unearthed telluric forces near the Sarsens, channels dug 100 feet with only antlers. In the new translation, Plato's form is like the medium's. Center temple, ringed with water, farm and woodlands, bogs beyond, the young explored, when whales were dogs. I stop writing to stand in the sun as sparrows splash the birdbath. This is my contribution, to watch the coming and going. The soul, says the myth, is immortal. The packaging phrase, we shed like leaves, like snakes. Scales fall from our eyes, but things keep going round and round, and we are not even who we were, even when we were not pure enough to look at the light from the cup, the spear, gyring through the hall. Now here we are again, searching in the dirt, more flame than beaker, all newfangled grail fire.
Ooh. Is that it?
That's it.
Listening to the two of you, it's a bit of a cosmic trip.
It's wild because you redid the order, and then when she was doing it, I thought, this is spooky. Right? But that's these things are like that.
Fascinating. Thank you, Susan Lynch.
Thank you.
And Lynn Kerrigan. You're listening to Return to Light on the Voice of Vashon. Our final and, last but not least, poet is Anne Spires. Vashon's inaugural Poet Laureate, Anne Spires helped produce the island's first poetry fest, as well as taking part in many off-island readings, performances, publications, workshops, festivals, selection committees, art commission program planning, and field trips. She belongs to Vashon's haiku group, Mondays at 3. As steward, she invites all post poems, on the poetry post in Vashon's Village Green. That's kind of a tongue twister.
I think I left out a word.
Okay.
But the invitation is to post poems in the Village Green.
Post poems on the poetry post in Vashon. Okay. She served as Vashon's Audubon president and worked for the Vashon Land Trust and continues to volunteer for the Land Trust and Park District. She co-wrote Walks, Trails, and Parks on Vashon Island, the sixth edition in the 20th year. For Anne's poems, it's been a good 2 years. Published in 2021 are Back Cut at the Black Heron, Rain Violent, The Empty Bowl, and in 2022, Harpoon, Ravenna Triple No. 16. She is included in the Madrona Project anthologies, Empty Bowl. Yet another accomplished poet here on Vashon Island. Welcome, Anne Spires.
Thank you. We are many.
You are.
I think we're only outnumbered by the accomplished musicians.
That's probably true. That's true. What brought you to poetry in the first place? Do you remember?
At a certain time in 1970, my true love looked at me and said, I thought I married a poet.
Oh.
So I thought that I should do something about that if he found that attractive. So I saw a professor at the University of Washington, Nelson Bentley, walking across the lawn, and I ran up and I said, can I come and sit in on your classes? And I did for 4 or 5 years. That was back in the day when you could do that.
Oh, yeah.
So that's how I got started.
Man, yeah, today that would incur incredible debt, just sitting in on a class. So it was sex that brought you to poetry.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to
read? Finally.
What are you going to read for us today?
I'm going to read from one of the Madrona anthologies that Empty Bowl Press has put out. This one is called The Universe is a Forest. And my poem is Lonesome Man Blues.
Okay.
And so it's a monologue. The voice, the eye, is not me, but a young man. And I'd say this is probably 1980.
Anne Spires.
Ho River, Lonesome Man Blues. Last night, I got crazy. I wanted to be not me, something outside of me, something solid like a well-hung door, a neat shot of whiskey, a woman. I could see her. Big as any stout chair of my own making. On my parcel, the trees are so thick the wind stays high, shaking only their tops. I can stand in calm, and above me, Douglas fir sing one song, cedar and spruce others. I've got twin cedars so large that a walk around takes one cup of coffee. Between those trees, the space is only as wide as a doorway. I've never stepped between them, but I look through. It's glowy in the land on the other side of those giants. The first settler planted these twins, one tree on each side of his stoop. He hoped his bride would withstand the place, rain, sunset at 3 on Christmas Eve. Surely she'd love the window with real glass. I packed up the trail from Hoquiam, the kind that gets wavy with age. The settler's cabin and stoop are long gone. Shards of glass shine in the moss. Last night, wild with myself, I stood in front of those twin cedars. I placed a hand on each trunk. I had 1 foot lifted, ready to step between. Maybe another me is over there. Maybe that settler's ghost wife is over there, ready for me. But the wind started to sigh high up in the trees' crowns. The sound, like a lullaby, filled me with gladness, and I didn't step through. I am small in this dark place, but when the high winds get excited, the trees move. And the top branches sing and bat the stars around.
Anne Spires, thank you so much. That's a great close. As it happens, we've run out of time, and that's our show. Anne had chosen this wonderful song from Tracy Chapman.
Beginning.
New Beginning.
New Beginning.
Yeah. That is our show. I hope you enjoyed today's poetic moments. May your holiday season be blessed with the love of family, the companionship of friends, and peace. And remember to donate to VOV's Old Man Winter campaign. Keep those emergency alerts going at voiceofashon.org/partners. Here's Anne's choice for music, Tracy Chapman's New Beginnings, and may you all have those and a wonderful holiday season. Thanks for listening.
The road ain't worth fixing. Time to start all over. Make a new beginning.